we have lots of Spider-Man E3 news? Do we have news about certain composers? Is Luke Cage on in 3 days? And is today my favorite guest ever on Marvel Movie News? Yes, this is Marvel Movie News.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's Marvel Movie News.
Excelsior to you, our merry Marvelites. That is proof we do this show live. My cat is a bit camera shy. That's right, today, Spidey Cat is joining us live in studio for glorious Marvel Movie News. I did try to Dr. Evil that intro, but my son was very nervous. So welcome. This is episode 185. We are my lucky number away from 200 episodes, which is crazy. You can subscribe to us at iTunes, That's how you do it. Just go to iTunes. You can subscribe to us at YouTube at youtube.com/popcorntalknetwork. You can also find us through Popcorn Talk's website, popcorntalknetwork.com. Follow us on Twitter at MarvelNewsPTN or at Popcorn Talk. Find us on Facebook, which we rarely use because it is complicated and hard to follow because there's a lot of stuff and it's mainly for politics and your family to tell you about their cute kids. And it's tricky, or more likely Twitter. And if you retweet a link whilst we're live, Aunt Anthony in the booth will retweet you.
I wish I could track how fast you say words.
They tried. Many have tried.
Yeah. My God.
It's like some people have typing per minute. It's just speaking per minute.
Right?
Yeah, my SPM is off the charts.
I forgot what I was going to say, and I was just like, wow, look at his mouth go.
It's all that Yellow Wolf, Tech N9ne, MGK, and Eminem, man. It's just I got ready.
Nice.
And I also, this is stuff we got to say, and I want to get through it quick so I can introduce the lovely Markia McCarty.
Yes, it's me. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Markia McCarty.
And joining us on the desk today.
Hi, me, Amy Cassandra Martinez. I am so distracted by Spidey Cat, but this is the best day ever. Yeah, you guys can find me on all social media at Amy Cassandra MTZ.
And joining us for the very first time, not only my son Spidey Cat, but my girlfriend Sheena Lee on the Cosmic Couch. So she will be cat wrangling today, Spidey. There's so much fan art of Spidey along at the show. I felt like he needed to be a part of a show. So episode 185, Spidey Cat's debut.
Yeah, he's just chilling out right now.
He's just being a cat. He's just doing his thing. Oh, that's perfect.
Being
we can see him in the
sweet.
Frame. So we'll periodically ask Spidey's opinion about subject matter. You know, I'm curious what he thinks. And we're going to start off today in honor of Spidey Cat with Spidey Man. Now, Spidey Man, the game, is coming very soon. It's been in the makings forever. It has us all very hyped. And one of us has played it. Aunt Anthony, could we see the feelings?
Okay, so I've played Spider-Man on PS4. I'm here at E3, and oh my God, y'all, this game, it's absolutely glorious. They don't pull any punches with it. It is literally the Spider-Man game that you are hoping for and that they are giving to you. One part of this demo, there were these armed thugs in a car. I jumped on the car and webbed them out of the car. There was this entire sequence. I am so excited for people to be playing this game. The gameplay itself is intuitive, and the controls are so great. The action is fluid. This is everyone's Spider-Man, and I am so excited for this.
So she's excited.
Yeah. Yeah, I was just like, oh, my God, what am I going to say? I'm just going to start saying words.
That's
and then
the
those
trick.
Are the words that came out. Yeah, no. And then we have a gameplay video. I guess we can talk over it a little bit. Oh, wait, is this the gameplay video?
Yeah, it's like a demo.
So you can see just how insanely, like having not played it, from the outside perspective, how intuitive the web swinging is and how, like, the game feels like what the comics feel like. And I just love the amount of villains and stuff. What was it like actually playing Spider-Man?
It was really good. For those that have played Spider-Man 2 on PS2, it's a lot like that in the sense that it was such a really great game and that they get the web-slinging right. That is so important. If you remember back when Spider-Man games was just like you shoot a web in the sky and it attaches to something. There were Spider-Man games where you literally could not walk on the ground. Like, it's like if you went too low, it was just like
was just
you have to restart
like,
up.
Oh, no!
Like, oh, because, you know...
We didn't program the street.
The neighborhood doesn't have floors. That's hot lava. The street
the floor
is hot
lava.
Hey! Yeah. So, but for this, it was the graphics are there, the humor is there with the Spider-Man, and like I was saying with the web-slinging, it's definitely on par, and it feels so expansive. It feels like you can literally go anywhere, and you can do the main story whenever you want to. So that's something that I really enjoyed about
it. And I love the suits, I love the villains, I love the animatics, like, I love the story mode, and then cutting to the gameplay mode, it looks pretty seamless. I love the character design. But a lot of people have a problem with the white suit, and actually came up in our live chat. To me, it makes sense. I know it's not canon, but if the world is so dark, you need a focal point. So the white looks like it's a texture issue. You can, like, see the character better, which I think makes sense. Because I've seen people play Arkham, and I lost Batman sometimes. One, I'm not a gamer. I'm a side-scroll guy. So when it goes 3D, I get lost.
Like platforms.
Yeah, okay. Sonic's platform my guy. Games. I like to, you know, roll. but I'm excited for this one because this is going to get me back into gaming. And I'm so glad that it's as good as it looked that you've played it now. Like, someone I know has touched this game, which means it's as good as I've heard. And I can't wait to find out who the sixth member of the Sinister Six is. I thought the trailer was great to allude to, like, another one. It just looks so damn bomb.
Yeah, and they in the demo they had a boss fight, so you fought. Well, it was just the demo. It's probably not going to be. But I think it was Shocker.
Cool. One of my boys. I love Shocker.
I think it was Shocker. This was last week and a long time ago. I just remember being really excited about this. But for that particular battle, the camera angles, and I even talked to somebody before I played it, and they even said, like, yeah, the camera angles are kind of weird. And then the camera angles were kind of weird during that boss battle. But this was just a demo.
Right. So it's evolving always.
And that's picking something really small out of this really epic size game. So for you, Koi, that you bought a PS4 for this purpose. Game, perfect.
Yes.
That was a really great decision.
I can't wait. And then I can go back. I can play old games again. I can rediscover things. I can and, like, gaming and comics are so, like, tied together. I feel like there's like, comics are here, wrestling's here, gaming's here. There's, like, this Venn diagram of nerddom that I've just been missing, like, at least a third and arguably two-thirds of it. Because, like, that's the nerd community, so I'm really excited to at least understand a piece of it. And in the live chat, Gamer Girl, the black and white guy, is Mr. Negative, who's a Dan Slott villain that came around not too long ago. By day, he is a charity-running helper of society that's friends with Aunt May, and then he's actually also a like, leader of gangs and crimes, and it's kind of like the Doc Ock parallel to the 60s comics. So he's a fun character. I'm glad he's not the big bad because he doesn't have as much, like, decades of backstory, so I'm excited to see who the big bad is. But to me, this game looks bomb. What do you think, Amy?
I'm excited about it. I don't know if I'll be able to play it since I don't have a PS4.
Sometimes you gotta dig deep in those pockets that, you know, all that Disney shill money I got. Still waiting on it.
What?
Whenever,
oh, that's funny.
we do.
Yeah, I'm still waiting for my Inhumans money.
Yep, so still waiting on that shill money.
Anytime, waiting for
whatever the check goes through.
Yeah, for some of the drawbacks for Spider-Man 2, one of the huge drawbacks for it was, not for this game, Spider-Man 2 back PS2, was that people would be like, the side quests would get extremely repetitive. Mm. There's only so many times that you want to deliver a pizza, take a picture, or, you know, get someone across town to save hospital. On their commute. Or to the hospital. Yeah. It's like, oh, I'm hurt. I need to go to the hospital. Like, dang, how many people are hurt in the city?
Take care of yourself.
How many people have to be all the way across town? So it didn't feel like this was just the demo. I only did, like, maybe three different missions kind of a thing in it.
Cool.
But it didn't feel like it would be repetitive like that. I think they learned their lessons.
So. And the world building, like, especially with the new technology and after Arkham and all these, like, you know, the lessons of game growth. I can't wait for this one. And Spidey Cat, what do you think? Is there a Spidey Cat DLC? Someone in the live chat asked. Oh, good. He's excited.
Go.
He's ready.
He's excited.
Yeah, he's loving it. So Spidey's ready to play. Spidey's ready to share my attention with the PS4. I'm sorry, son. It's going to be a lot. I'm just going to sit and game. Cat and Lab's going to be glorious.
It's going to be great.
So in the world of music, Captain Marvel, the composer, is somehow the first Marvel movie scored by a woman. I had not realized in all of the 20-plus films there had not been a female composer. Huzzah! So we have a female composer on Captain Marvel. I cannot pronounce her name. I'm going to get it wrong. Pinar Toprak, is that maybe?
I think it's Pinar.
Pinar? Okay.
I don't know.
P-I-N-A-R Toprak, congratulations. Yeah. I'm really excited to hear this. We have some of her other work. She scored Krypton, which you can hear here.
Yeah. So, which is a DC show. That's right. Amalgam Universe.
Yeah, we're talking about another thing with happiness.
I told you cats love me.
There's
cats love me.
He's coming over to say hello.
There's something about me and cats.
I know. Maybe I'm Catwoman, or maybe I will be. Maybe I will become that.
There we go.
But the proper Holly Berry Catwoman. yeah, more like an Eartha Kitt Catwoman.
Yeah.
I kind of want to pick him up now. He's very fun. And also she scored Fortnite, and I just want to say really quick, but like with this year, it seems like we're hitting a lot of firsts. And mm-hmm. on the one hand, it's like, oh, God, really? It took this long to have a woman just score a Marvel movie. And then also, it's like, hey, finally happened.
Yeah, like, so it's a celebration. I think it's like, perspective.
Nice. Like, yeah, like that. First female cinematographer, mm-hmm. Rachel Morrison. You know, and then Black Panther hitting just about everything. So it's like, yes, I'm glad that all of this is happening now and we move forward into the future.
Absolutely.
And it's also kind of shocking to me. I think I'm in the maybe not majority of us that think like, wow, really? This hasn't happened yet? This is a first?
Yeah.
Well, about time.
It's interesting when you realize it's a first. Yeah, like 20 movies in, I wouldn't have assumed that was a thing. So it's cool. And now that barrier's been broached and we can keep going. Like Kevin Feige said that was going to be a focus of his. And this shows man of his word, Kevin Feige. Beautiful hats. So now the Spider-Man game comes out September 7th. Just wanted to mention that in case you guys didn't know. If you're watching the show, I assumed you did. Comes out September 7th. Whereas the Captain Marvel movie will be out in 2019. Very excited about that. But before Captain Marvel comes out, we had a little movie called The Avengers. And Avengers Infinity War just made $2 billion. Good God. I needed you for that, Spidey. I needed you. So, $2 billion. It made $1 billion in, what was it, 11 days?
11 days.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Wow.
That's an insane amount of money.
Can you tell that we were rabid for this movie? Because we were foaming at the mouth for it.
Oh, boy.
Uh-oh. Someone's come back to the table to play. Oh, looks not as shy. Not as shy now.
Used to the room. That's all, getting used to
you know
the
what?
Smells.
All it was an Infinity War.
It was.
Exciting.
Oh, no. No, he doesn't feel so good. Oh, no.
Oh, no. Spidey. Spidey's okay. He's right here. So, I'm sorry, podcast listeners. I'm very excited my son's here. My AC in my apartment broke, and it's very hot in Los Angeles today. So, Spidey is with me for safety. So, if there's any time you're driving and you hear me just make sounds, it's Spidey Cat related. So, Infinity War has passed $2 billion. So, that means it only took 48 days. That is an insane amount of money. It hit the 1 billion mark faster than any film, and now it is at $2,001,136,398 as of, like, 2 days ago. So, it's at more now, because people have seen it in the last 2 days. It has joined the very rare film club at $2 billion, joining 2009's Avatar, which finished its run at $2.78 billion. So I'm hoping this is the first movie to make three. I'm hoping it gets a re-release, because Avatar got a re-release. Titanic, which is number two at $2.18 billion, got a re-release. Mm-hmm. I think before Avengers 4 comes out, this should get a re-release. Clear that $3 billion, make all the money, because I'd love the 1-2 punch of these. Like, the way Infinity War ended, I'd love to see it right before going into four. Like, have that, and then healing, hopefully, depending on how it goes.
No, I think it's going to be a whole lot
just
of gut punches.
Sadness.
We're just
going to
cry.
Gut punches, but humor.
Yeah,
and then,
light in the dark.
And then it's going to flip the script. There's going to be an undusting, and then goodbye, your OG
and then
characters.
Gone forever.
Yeah, and then Bucky's going to be Captain America.
It's going to be 5 hours
either,
of rough.
Either that or it's going to be Falcon.
Yep, they're going to come back, America. And Cap's going to, because the phrase that really stood out to me that time we watched it on IMAX was, we don't trade lives, Cap. That kept coming up. So I was like, oh, at least Cap's gonna trade a life.
Oh yeah,
like that phrase was said more than once, and they don't waste words. Marcus and McFeely are brilliant, so that I think that expression is gonna be a through line in the fourth one. So you're right, like it's gonna be rough. It's gonna be 5 hours of just boom. So it gets re-released, breaks $3 billion, and then so that's 1 and 2 are both James Cameron, and then 2015 Star Wars The Force Awakens made $2.06 billion. I do think in this run Infinity War is gonna pass Force Awakens. I think we'll have it. It'll be in the top three. Because that's at only 48 days, it is in that top four. That's incredible.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's still going. I mean, Incredibles 2 did 180 million.
That's
crazy.
Highest animation of all time.
Wow.
Even adjusted for inflation, which I always check for.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, like, Citizen Kane made a lot more money than it looked like because the movies were like 50 cents. Like, you know, like, adjusted for inflation, it's still the highest grossing first weekend. That's awesome.
Well, see, and also Infinity War came out at the beginning of summer, and Force Awakens came out in December. So it depends on that as well.
Oh, yeah, release is so important.
Right?
But, like, those are the two big seasons. So, like, they both had their right time to shine. And, like, Black Panther came out in the off-season up in, like, Deadpool restructured that time, and then Black Panther's like, well, I know where I want to go. And then it's just right in February. So, I mean, it's been really cool to see Marvel structure what the year can be. It's not just two seasons anymore. It's crazy. So it is not superhero fatigue, because friggin' Incredibles 2 showed us
100. You know, I'm so sick of hearing that expression. That term just doesn't make any sense.
Like, I feel like Deadline and Variety just like saying that expression. Like, there's so many articles that are like,
I think that if they say it enough times, then they'll eventually be right.
Yeah, one movie's gonna do poorly, and they're like, look!
See, we told you.
Look at what we said.
Like, when Deadpool 2 made, like, 10 million less than one, they're like, fatigue! And I was like, or, you know, it's just made $500 million.
You know, that's, like, a really good amount. Yeah, it's like with Ant-Man and the Wasp, I know we're eventually gonna talk about that. But it's like with a projected for $75 million. And I'm just like, yeah, that's pretty conservative. You know, I think it's going to do better than that, pretty conservative.
And that cost, like, you know, in the 100, 150 range. So, oh no, it makes all of its money back in 10 days. Like, these are all incredible statistics. Many movies don't get to that point. So, fatigue's a silly thing. Now, speaking of Avengers 4, Hawkeye is obviously coming back. I'm not sure. It is news. USA Today is talking about it. Other people talk. Yes, Hawkeye will return. I believe he'll be Ronin. There is the rumor going around right now. There is a solo standalone Hawkeye movie. That would be interesting. That has been popping up for years. That is apparently the newest rumor.
Do we want that?
So the thing with me with Hawkeye is Jeremy Renner is so good at bringing heart to scenes with the group. I don't know if we need just him. Like, I'd rather see Jeremy Renner the man do other roles. Because, like, Hawkeye to me is a great character, but I'd rather see a Black Widow movie that has Hawkeye in it for, like, 10 minutes.
Yes.
The thing for me... Amy, go ahead.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think even not seeing him in Infinity War, obviously it shook a lot of us, but we moved on. It's okay. So we missed him a little bit, and we're going to get him in Avengers 4, so I don't really know if there is a need for him to have his own movie when we have so many other characters that haven't really had that time to shine.
And he's been, like, in the MCU since Thor. He's been there a long time, and he's been in a lot of things in that smaller capacity, and then when he does shine, he shines. Mm-hmm. So I see why people want it, but I also like that Boss Logic poster with all the Hawkeyes, like, where Hawkeye is everyone. Like, that's obviously something I love. Renner said something I want, but at the same time, like, is it something we need more than other things? I don't think more than other things.
For me personally, I have no need of a Hawkeye movie. In particular, because Hawkeye, I like him as a juxtaposition with all of those other superheroes. He is a family man. He's really good at shooting arrows.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, the best. Cool. He's the best at what he does, and he does his best when he does, and he does it with a humor and a sarcastic wit, and that's great. I don't need him in his own movie because also, as cool as that character is in, like, Avengers and the such, it wouldn't be as special if it was just him in an action movie, if that makes any sense.
Unless the two ways I'd want it is a Black Widow movie with him as a supporting character, and that wouldn't be a Hawkeye movie.
I would be on board with that.
That's exactly what I wanted to say. That's exactly what I wanted to say. Yeah, yes, I would love to see him in a Black Widow movie. Yeah.
Second to that, a Kate Bishop introduction. Because I love the Kate Bishop comic. There's a Kate Bishop comic that ran for like 20 issues that unfortunately got canceled. That was like a very West Coast comic. It was set in Santa Monica, and it had a very different flavor. And it was cool because you'd do this thing where you'd go into her perspective and you'd see, like, Target, civilian, ice cream sandwich, blah, blah, blah. Uh-huh. And it would give you her POV. And it was this really fun read where it was, like, this simplistic art style that was really beautiful. And it was a very lively comic. And Hawkeye was kind of, like, this doofus that, like, got in the way but also was a mentor. Mm-hmm. So it was fun because he's, like, this mentor, but he's also, like, the Hawkeye that thinks he's way cooler, but she's way cooler. So I'd love that Renner being, like, now that he's in his 40s, playing that role. I'd love to see, like, the mentor Hawkeye.
The other way I would want a Hawkeye movie is if it was Ronin, just, you know, went into, Salt Lake City Avengers or
Great Lakes Avengers.
Great, thank you. Great Lakes.
Very Salt specific. Lake City. Only in Salt Lake City. We live in Salt Lake.
City. You know, crime capital of the world. Salt Lake
Rough
City.
Rough neighborhood, Salt Lake.
Dangerous. Oh my God.
But that world, like, that's
been a long month.
But Ronin, like a Lethal Weapon, you know, Hawkeye and Black Widow, like, vigilante on the edge, I'll take. But otherwise, like, definitely a different thing. So if we can go to the wide, my son has decided it is time to join us in the game.
Yeah.
Hi.
So, also in the world of Avengers.
Yes, we have a cat on the desk.
We do have a cat on the desk. Oh, it is my favorite guest ever. I love you, Spidey. We've had some great guests, but Spidey cat. So in the world of going forward in the cosmic realms, Guardians of the Galaxy 3 has a bunch of stuff gearing up, and they're basically talking about how it might take place before you think it does. It might take place before Avengers 4, which... I love that they're even lying, like, teasing us, or that this could happen. Like, we joked about how, like, what if every sequel takes place in those 2 years between Civil War and Infinity War?
I think in their case, 4 years.
Yeah, between. Because that happened 6 months after Guardians 1, so there's a four-year span. How amazing would it be? That a lot of stuff could happen. You get the whole team back, and they're evil.
Oh, what? I like that. They're evil. No, it's like, for it, I'm okay with it being a volume 3 with Warlock, with Gamora being, you know, like, for realsies. Okay, at this point, Infinity War's been a while. Oh, like, yeah. Gamora being for realsies gone, and then we have, like, this whole, you know, spirit world kind of thing that happens with Warlock. I would be really happy with that if we did that. And it would be heartbreaking to visit a Star-Lord, like, after all of this. But then also... It doesn't really make sense because when you think about it, Volume 3, they're basically all gone.
Yeah, so, and that's tricky.
So then it's like, yeah, you might have to just visit that 4 years.
So they actually said, quote, here's the thing. I think it's important to remember anything is possible in the MCU. Just because there's a sequel in the books doesn't mean, I mean, people become accustomed to time moving linearly in the MCU. That doesn't necessarily have to be the case. There's a lot of very inventive ways where the story can go. Sneaky, sneaky. Then Joe Russo added... there's 4 years between Guardians 2 and Infinity War. That's a long time and a lot of Guardian stories to tell. Again, as Anthony said, don't expect everything to move forward in a linear fashion in the Marvel Universe. Now, that also talks about Captain Marvel, how it takes place in the 90s, time not moving linearly. We already know 91's
such a hip year.
Because it's like the 80s isn't over, but 90s hasn't really begun. It's that beautiful, like, what is... Like, I love 91.
Stonewashed jeans, guns and roses. A lot of flannel. Tuck in the shirts.
But you'll still see shoulder pads and slap bracelets. Like, oh, yeah.
Slap bracelets.
They're both... It's like that perfect, yes. So yeah. I love the idea of them at least teasing us with that concept. Yeah. Spidey's right here. He's catting. He's catting real good.
He's catting real good.
Now, Venom. In the world of Venom, I am its loudest, hopeful defender. It's going to be a rough October if it doesn't turn out to be good because I've been defending this since before Tom Hardy. Now that Tom Hardy's on it, I am straight cheerleader. Venom could possibly cross over with Spider-Man, but don't expect to see him. This is a very Venom-only story, but Fleischer said, the director, Ruben Fleischer, said, quote, this feels very much like a Venom movie. It's the introduction of the character as to where it will go in future movies and who he'll run across, I can't say. I mean, yeah, that's a great way to tease audiences, but what does it really mean? Further saying, quote, here's what we're doing. All these characters are a part of the Marvel comic book universe. In that universe, they're all related to each other. Kevin Feige makes characters in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. These characters are separate, except for Spidey, who belongs in the MCU, which is why he's there. So, yes, but, like, what do you guys think that means, these vague quotes?
I don't know. I mean, I understand we're all a little bit hesitant, but, like, whatever happens, happens. Obviously, the movie's basically done. Mm-hmm. So, I just think we need to just be open-minded and see what happens with it. And we're obviously not going to see Spider-Man. But if there is that possibility in the future, then maybe that'll bring people to it.
And John Schnapp thinks he's in this one. Like, John Schnapp will swear up and down.
I think when Pascal made that comment way back long ago that there's going to be some kind of Spider-Man presence in this movie. I'm not saying that it's going to be Spider-Man in an outfit, like, battling Venom. I'm not saying that. I'm saying, but, like, maybe, like, news reports kind of a thing, or there's an awareness that there is Spider-Man in the world kind of a thing. That would then be enough for Venom to, once he's penetrated Eddie Brock's reporter's mind, to be able to then be like, oh, yeah, that looks good. I'll mimic that kind of look for it. So I think that might be what they mean by Spider-Man presence. But we will be finding out really, really soon. I mean, it is only the 6th month of the year, and this would be in the 10th month of the year, which is...
The year's half over.
Yeah.
What in the world?
2018. We're as close to New Year's as we are from New Year's. Good God. That's terrifying. I'm not ready for time to keep moving.
I'm sure that's 100% right.
Oh, my gosh. That's so weird.
No. So, I mean, in like 12 days. because, you know, the 30th is halfway. But still, that's too soon.
It counts.
In 3 days, we get Luke Cage, which we'll talk about shortly. But before that, we need to talk about the movie that no one will be cheerleading. Howard the Duck! Leah Thompson.
Did anybody here see Howard the Duck? Like, everybody's seen Howard the Duck?
The original. Yeah.
The original.
Oh, yeah. It's real.
Okay, so it's just me and you, Coy.
Yeah, there's some sexually charged moments that don't make sense.
It starts out, oh my
God. Hot and heavy.
God.
It's also a George Lucas movie.
They, like... you know, like that, you know, Skinny Cow, if anybody's seen any of those commercials or any of that product,
yes.
And they have the cows that are, extremely sexualized, but it's an animal. So what are you kind of doing? Yeah. That kind of happens, at the beginning of Howard the Duck, like very quickly. So you kind of get that over with at the beginning, but then after that, there's an alien that you battle.
Yep. And, cool.
You know, he's a musician.
What does he play? God,
this movie.
I think he played guitar.
And
I haven't
piano.
Seen it so long.
I think I remember him doing piano, keyboard. I think
it came out
keyboard.
Before we were born, but I have seen it.
Yeah,
it came
I
out
have seen
in
it.
In 86. I probably saw it in like 93.
So, yeah, like most of the movies I've seen, it was like sometime in the 2000s for some reason or other, some group of friends. But Howard the Duck.
So Leah Thompson of Back to the Future fame was in George Lucas's Howard the Duck. Let's not let George Lucas off the hook here. And now we do have Seth Green playing Howard the Duck in the Guardians canon. And I would love to see Seth Green as an insane, weird duck, anamorphic human creature. And Leah Thompson is pushing for this movie saying, quote, "I love Howard the Duck, the person. I love the duck. I love the duck in the movie. Maybe I took my part too far and now I still love the duck. I wish that he had his due because I don't think they have the technology to do Howard the Duck well, so I hope that Marvel does do another Howard the Duck and does him proud." Yes. So they then asked if they think they'll make another movie, and she said, "I don't know, to tell you the actual truth. I'm going to Marvel to pitch Howard the Duck a new movie in 3 weeks. I want to direct Howard the Duck remake. Why not dream big, right?" You know what? If anyone's going to make it, it's Leah Thompson. She's got the heart. She's invested. She clearly loves the duck and the person, and I'd love to see Leah Thompson direct, so... Sure.
I mean, she's not ducking around.
She's a real, and now that she's out, she's a real mother ducker.
Oh my God.
There you go.
Yeah.
I could see a, you know, Netflix movie of it.
Oh,
that
would be fun.
Something that, I mean, that works.
And
I don't know how it would do in theaters, but on stream, why not?
It'd be fun.
We'll see. Just the idea of Seth Green possibly doing that role, I'm in. Yeah.
Because that moment was so exciting in Guardians 1.
Like it was unexpected.
It was weird.
That was
too.
The thing. It was just like, oh, they own the rights to Howard the Duck. That was my experience with it. Because I was not expecting that.
Because he was full, like, smoking and like I love that they went Howard the Duck like in the comics. Like he's more wholesome-ish in like a lot of iterations between the movie and now. But Howard the Duck is like a crass character. He's more Deadpool than like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle. So I really like the idea of this like chain smoking detective-y weird duck. Sure. Aunt Anthony, would you watch Howard the Duck?
The original?
But then would you watch one that came out?
Oh, if it's Seth Green, I mean, no, wait, what was it? Seth Rogen?
Seth Green.
Oh,
Howard
it was
the
Seth
duck.
Green.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Then yeah, I would love to. He hasn't done much in a long time. Or at least anything I've seen that's mainstream.
Yeah.
And I was a fan of his Robot Chicken and everything, so I would love to watch it. And it's especially, like, who they get to direct is, like, a really curious thing, too.
Yeah.
Like, who would be able to handle Howard the Duck, you know?
I mean, Leah Thompson, she's lobbying for it. She wants it.
All right.
Well, seems like she's the only one out there saying
moves.
About it. So.
I mean, we don't need. We don't really need it, but I mean, we didn't really need a lot of these movies, so you know. I'm
down. And her kids are both actors, and they both have great careers. Like her kids are fantastic, so they could play. They could be in the movie. And Leah Thompson's been in the game for so long. I'd love to see her direct. Like she's been acting for 40 years, so I'm weirdly in. So moving from film to television.
Ooh, hey baby.
Is it TV time?
Marvel movie news. We're talking TV time.
Hey, cats love me.
Oh, yes. Spidey's
Spidey
over there.
Cat was over here like, hey.
He keeps coming over and being like, no, he's going to try to put me on camera and running away. I'm like, Spidey. So Luke Cage had a music featurette drop, and I have spoken very plainly about one of my first things in Luke Cage season one was introducing me to so much music I listen to this day. So let's check out this music featurette.
Paradise was a place that would coalesce all these different musical influences yes. and be at the center of the show.
I love that they made it like part of in canon that people play. Like you get like a music variety act in the show.
You just feel the black experience.
Yeah, it was like, you know how we talk about New York and Harlem being that fifth character. Well, like being an extra character with this. It's like this is another side of that. Mm-hmm. Oh, and there was your favorite one, Jadena,
man. Yeah, I've seen Jadena 3 times. I own all of his music.
Oh, like wow.
Jadena became one of my top 10 rappers. We saw Jadena at a club at like midnight, and it was one of the craziest audiences I've been to in LA, and that's saying a lot. Because he just did a random, it was him and Janelle Monáe. And
like, oh, yeah, she did, I think the one that they did together was yoga.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But she did the whole show with him. She duetted with him, like her dancers, like, because he just was a pop up. It was incredible.
Play with Black Panther.
To be a part of this world is like a dream come true. The little boy in me is like, finally.
It's a great place. It's a great venue.
And I love that they made the music of the show, like you were saying, such a character, because now this featurette is as good as a commercial as anything for me as a fan of the music in the first season.
There's so much to Luke Cage season 2, like to grip everybody. If it's not the music, then it's going back into this world where there's like this political upheaval with a bulletproof man.
Yeah.
All of the social commentary that comes with the black experience, and then like delving into that. You have Cheo Hodari Coker did a great job with the first one. Everybody agrees that second half needed to have a different direction. But when you see like that focus that they had, I believe y'all played it last week where they were highlighting Mariah.
Yes. Yep.
Mm-hmm. It's like, yes, that's perfect. You know, make her more into a Cottonmouth-like character.
And learn the lesson.
You know, someone that he can't punch his way through.
Mm-hmm. Because it's politics, and politics is a problem in this environment.
Plus, I love the term, was it dark chocolate Boy Scout? That was fantastic.
So, I'm excited for season 2. It drops in 3 days. Mm-hmm. What are you guys most excited about? What's your big moment? Is it Bushmaster? Is it the direction? Is it the music? Is it finding out what Luke Cage has been up to? Is it Heroes for Hire? Is it Daughters of the Dragon? Is it... I got 7. What else we got?
Yeah.
Yes.
I want to see if Iron Fist comes out.
No.
No, I personally...
Sorry, that came
from the heart. It's okay.
Yeah, oh, no.
That was like a shock to her.
Sorry.
I personally love their chemistry together, especially in the Defenders.
Yeah, Defenders, like the two of them was amazing because he like he just kept giving him crap being a privileged white boy and not knowing how to hide himself. Like, and then it was a commentary in the first season of Iron Fist's flaws, and it was very like, look, we messed up. Look, we messed up. So I think bringing him in and making him a better character in the other shows would help season 2. So I see the merit.
No, I don't, because it's Luke Cage's show. So I don't want Iron Fist in there. I don't want Jessica Jones in there.
Well, Colleen's there, right?
There was that scene. Was that Luke Cage or was that Iron Fist that we were
Luke
seeing?
Cage. It
was
Luke Cage. Iron Fist.
With that. Oh, they what?
Iron Fist doesn't have any scenes out yet.
Got it. So with that, I like that Daughters of the Dragon moment. And I especially liked the vulnerability of Misty Knight being aware of, she no longer had her right arm.
Right.
And then still compensating for it. And Colleen being like, so what are you going to do then?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I enjoy that a lot. I guess just about everything. Mariah.
Mariah,
I'm really looking forward to. Because, you don't get that kind of villain.
Yeah.
You know, especially this villain that considers themselves a hero.
Right, right. You know? And that's what I said about Bushmaster. Is Bushmaster, I want to see a different take on that kind of character. And a friend of the show, Jay Washington, said that Bushmaster is like amongst the best Marvel villains. So that's high praise, because now that Marvel, like phase 3 Marvel villains were all pretty solid. And Loki and, I mean, Killmonger, 1-2 punch of Killmonger, Thanos. When you say one of the best Marvel villains, the bar is so damn high. So I'm excited for Bushmaster personally.
I'm excited about the music.
Yeah.
And also just this show feels so different from everything that Marvel Television's doing that I want to be back in that space. I want to be back in Harlem. And, I mean, Mike Coulter, hello. Big fan of his. So, just being back in that and seeing people kick butt, you know. what we expect from Marvel Television and everywhere.
And that's out in 3 days. Yeah. So on Friday, yeah, you can binge away this weekend.
Binge!
I think what we typically do is we try to have the show watch before Tuesday. Lately, that's been very hard, as the Legion commentary we're about to dive into.
Yeah.
So it might be spoiler-free this Tuesday, and we might do full spoilers next Tuesday. That'll give the audience 10 days. That'll give us 10 days.
So prepare for that possibility. If the title next week just says spoiler-free review as opposed to spoiler review. Just because weekends have gotten crazy.
And actually, speaking of weekends, you'll be able to find... are you going to Vegas?
I haven't decided yet.
So maybe Markia will be joining us in Vegas at Fantastic Con.
Amazing Con.
Amazing.
Amazing, 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 amazing,
amazing,
with the Triceratops.
Is that Triceratops? I remember. Yeah. I just call it Triceratops Con.
Amazing Los Angeles Comic Con.
Amazing Los Angeles Comic Con in Las Vegas, which I'm going to, but should learn the name of. Is the 29th through the 1st. The Collider Gang is all going. The Heroes Gang, a lot of us are going. Markia might be going. I'll be there. The 29th, 30th, and 1st. The 29th is a Heroes panel. Like, so if you want to see what Collider Heroes is like live, that'll be a thing on the 29th. Mm-hmm. And then we'll be there all weekend. We're doing a bunch of meet and greets, drunk on the streets of Vegas Friday, because I'm gonna try to heal Saturday and Sunday. I got realistic goals with my liver and my expectations. So if you wanna, if you're in the area, if you're in Vegas, if you're close, I'll be there. Markia will probably be strong-armed into going. I'm gonna convince her.
Between him and John Schnapp and Amy, yeah, no, Amy's not going.
Amy can't go Friday. Yeah,
yeah, but between the two of you, it's a possibility. I'm not gonna say no at this point.
Tweet at Markia. So we might be there. I will be there. So I will see you there if you're in Vegas. I'm terrified of the heat, but excited to meet you. Now, Legion is a show that is so dense that I have to sit and watch it like a book is being read. And I love that about it. But in that, I have not had time. So I promise you, we will be covering Legion in a giant, like, we've talked every episode about us watching it all at once.
Yes.
I think Markia and I are about the same place, like halfway through.
Halfway through. Yeah. Halfway through, and then halfway through that episode that's halfway through. So that's where it is right now. And oh my God, my favorite so far of the halfway through is the one where it's like, I think it's called like chapter 14, part 7, where it's the multiverse one.
Yeah.
Where it's like branches upon branches upon branches. I was like, yeah, that's fantastic. That's where I live. I love anything like that. I mean, time play is excellent. I love multiverse play, and I love that they did that. And I, really love the outcome of that particular episode. It's like everything, and it was almost like a little bit like Dollhouse meets what's that one? Dollhouse meets her name is Taja Marie. No, it's not. Clone Club.
Orphan Black.
There we go.
Dollhouse meets Orphan Black for me.
Yeah, that
for
level seeing of weird, that. But
Tatiana
with the pattern.
Maslany.
Yeah, Tatiana Maslany. Tatiana Maslany. Yeah, she's
Tatiana
fantastic.
Tatiana Maslany.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm so great at names and titles.
I mean, as y'all know, shows.
Before we go to Cloak and Dagger, which we all have watched, in the live chat, there's been a few questions. Sky Patterson, I totally get it. We're catching up ourselves. But Brayden said, is the TV show Cleanup Crew still a thing? Damage Control is not a thing. Damage Control was before Spider-Man Homecoming did it. Damage Control was an idea they were going to have like a sitcom Fox situation a few years back. As far as I know, that was shut down. There's a lot of shows that get started and don't go anywhere. As far as I know, Damage Control is a thing. And I thought they handled that storyline really well in Spider-Man Homecoming. So it'd be hard to kind of like, hey, Damage Control's involved and not Michael Keaton. Like, it's kind of been touched on. So
yeah,
just wanted to touch on that. Now, Cloak and... Actually, before we move on to Cloak and Dagger, Legion.
Yeah. Yes. And then real quick, just to knock it back to Luke Cage and with Legion, a couple of people in the chat room were saying that they are going to wait for Legion because they want to binge it.
Yeah.
They want to binge it completely.
Make your brain just melt out of your ear.
Yeah. There's a comparison to Westworld with it that maybe if you binge it, you'll understand it altogether.
Waiting week to week, I've definitely had to go like, have I seen last week's episode? Yeah. I'm confused. And then when you're not sure, you feel more confused. You're like, am I lost or did I miss a week? Like, it's hard to... So I totally get the merits in watching it all at once and just having the craziest 14 hours of your life.
Yeah, I'm at the point where, you know, the guy that can change people's minds is whispering in ears. So,
yes.
I'm not there yet. I'm only halfway.
I'm halfway to the halfway. That's exactly where I was like, oh, I gotta go.
Gotta go. So,
Amy?
You're far farther.
Yes. So the finale was just last week. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I was one of those people that I just, it was very difficult to make it through. But I have to say that the finale just knocks it out of the park. And there is a character that comes back from previous episodes.
No spoilers.
Yeah, right? And it's worth it. It's really cool. My favorite character, I would say.
Cool. But I'm excited. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right.
It's cryptic.
We'll see what happens when we get there. A thing I have been watching because...
And we will get there.
I swear to you, Marvelites. A show I have been watching, especially since it's more bite-sized and it's easier to not have to stare at and dissect... I love Cloak and Dagger.
Yes. Oh, I am so... I've seen all three episodes.
Three so far.
And I am so on board with this. Good. Oh, my God. Because I know, like, Runaways, a number of people in the chat room were saying that started filming today. If so, we love you, Runaways cast. And yay, season two. But for Cloak and Dagger, which you can see on Freeform, the... level of care that they took with building this world and making it uncomfortable for you at the same time is what I really enjoy. With Tyrone Johnson's experience, yes, it is very unfair. It is very unfair to be a black person or a black man in this world, and they touch on that. It is very unfair to be a female in this world, and they touch on the things that Tandy goes through with that. And and it's very unfair to be a teenager in this world, because people will take advantage of you. They will not pay attention to you. It's like, oh, you don't know what you're saying. Mm-hmm. No, you don't know what troubles are, that kind of a thing.
You're old enough to be taking responsibility, but young enough people don't trust you. Yep. Like, being a teenager is like, you're an adult, handle this responsibility. You're not an adult, you can't do this. It's like, well, I'm an adult, what do you want?
It's like, what do you expect from me?
And the show captures that, I think, really well.
Yeah, I like the pacing. I really like the color palette that they did with that.
I love the visuals of the show.
Yes. I mean,
their power set.
Slam dunk.
Yeah.
Slam dunk with this.
The dagger and his, like, it looks like like ink and water. And I love that, like, the air kind of feels like ink and water, his darkness. I love the amount of times they've made stuff out of the cloak, like the different cloaks.
Yes.
And, like, the visual representation of the blanket. The moment the blanket was around him on that roof and it was just straight up comic panel and it was billowing and I was like, yes. Like, that was one of those stand-up and cheer moments. And, like, when you can accomplish that in a show, I actually stood up in my apartment and just started, like, they did the thing! Because it felt like Maximum Carnage. It felt like when you watch, like, read a Maximum Carnage and they pull out and Cloak and Dagger are there. I love that imagery. And for me, it's everything I wanted it to be, because we loved Runaways so much. This feels like it lives in that world of Runaways.
Yeah.
And it feels definitely like the Netflix Hulu flavor. And I love that Freeform didn't make it. I love that Freeform's like, hey, we're not a kids network. There are teenagers boning in this truck. I love
pretty
that
much,
they like established, and then they didn't make that guy a dick.
Liam is a nice person.
Because they started like in the moment, like
he's a criminal,
he was a thief,
but he's a nice person.
Yeah, and I was like, how easy would it be to make this guy a like, oh, she's just a girl, and like she's a thief.
Just so tired. So tired of that trope.
That's the thing, is they made him like compassionate and help her, and I was like, oh, this show's writing doesn't play on tropes; it plays on the opposite of expectations. Mm-hmm. And I've really enjoyed the fact that I'm always guessing about what a character's choice is going to be.
Also, I spoke with Olivia Holt and Aubrey Joseph. Like in real life, and they were just so appreciative of these roles.
Good.
For them. They have been Marvel fans for a long time, and they understand just how big a deal this is. That even Olivia, she said that when she got a call from Jeff Loeb, he said, okay, I have three words for you: welcome to Marvel. And she was saying that story.
Amazing.
She had chills, and she was just, I mean, when you're a part of something like this, you have to know that, dang, this is a big deal and you need to respect it.
Yeah.
And they do. And I think that's what makes it even more beautiful.
Well, that's what I love so much about Ryan. Like, when Ryan comes on the show, Ryan Sands, who's Jeffrey Wilder on Runaways, is now a friend because of Marvel.
I
love how
he's a pretty cool guy.
I love how that, like, the Marvel world brought us together.
And talented with his art.
Yeah, no, he's so good in designing shoes and, like, so many things. Like, I love that Marvel brought us together, and then that guy who's loved comics that much his whole life got to play someone in Runaways. Mm-hmm. Like, I love when people that are invested in the world then get to be a part of the world, and it sounds like she's that. And I really love the Runaways Cloak and Dagger world. I'm at Runaways season two is filming now. I'm so excited for season two. I'm so excited to hear from Ryan about that madness. I think we're in a really good TV zone. It's the first time in my adult life, and I was talking to Amy Dallin about this on Heroes, that it feels like when you go to the comic store, there's the spinner rack, but it's your TV. It feels like when you used to the comic, or when you still go to the comic store and you're like, I want to feel this. I want to feel this. This is me. And like right now you can go like Preacher, Cloak and Dagger, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., all different feelings, and you can just experience comics. And this is the first time they're all of quality, so it doesn't feel like you have to choose, like, darkness, lesser, light and fluffy, lesser. Like, they're all good.
Oh, yeah, and they're all
in different ways.
Massively different. Also, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Season 5 is on Netflix now, so if you haven't seen
it. That's fun. Something to keep in mind with people that are Runaways people, and then they're, you know, transitioning over to, oh, let me check out Cloak and Dagger. Keeping in mind that Runaways was basically telling two points of view at the same time. Yeah. It had the parents, and then it also had the teenagers, the Runaways and the such. For Cloak and Dagger, it is their show. So it is being told from their point of view.
And focused.
It is focused on there. I mean, you do interact with parents, but it is their point of view. So keep that in mind when you are watching this. If, for instance, you have a... you know, I'm not even going to go there. just keep it in mind that it is all from their perspective, and they are trying to figure things out in a world that kind of feels like it's against them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's in New Orleans, and I think they really do capture that.
Yeah.
While with Runaways being set in like Brentwood, Los Angeles, they really do capture the flavor of New Orleans. In my experience, I've only been there like twice, and only remember most of it. Part of it.
New Orleans does that to you.
But it was the people were epic there, really enjoyed, and the food.
All the food.
Oh, food isn't real food in LA compared to New Orleans.
New Orleans
food.
Got some food.
I will say that.
So I'm really enjoying it. It's only 3 episodes in. It's a great show to catch up on now. It's really good. It's a little lighter, so that's one we'll fall an episode or two behind, but we'll be able to talk about like we did today without it being like, let's dissect the minutia of. And it's fantastic. I also, before we go on to our Mary Marvelites, want to bring up something awesome that happened at the MTV Movie Awards. I'm not sure if you guys watched the MTV Movie Awards, but did you guys happen to see the Black Panther thing that happened?
I saw that Black Panther won something.
So, Chadwick Boseman, I'm so glad I get to share this with you guys. Chadwick Boseman won the Best Hero Award at the MTV Movie Awards. It was presented by Olivia Munn and Miss Zazie Beetz. So, Psylocke and frickin' Domino presented Black Panther an award. That was how my brain saw it.
Excellent.
So it was this really cool moment of like, look at what's happening. So he accepts the Best Hero Award, gives a very sweet speech, thanks the fans, runs around, claps, and all the while it's Chadwick Boseman, so he's regal. Like, there's just, he has that nest where you're like,
that quiet
whatever I say feels like a decree. But then the coolest thing happened for me was James Shaw Jr., who is the guy who single-handedly stopped the gunman at the Waffle House. You probably heard about it briefly, but not enough, because there wasn't nearly enough coverage about it. This show is not getting into politics. I'm not going to dive into that. I'm only going to say James Shaw Jr., no matter how you cut your politics, is a hero. He saved lives. He took a gun out of a man's hand with his own bare hands and burnt his hand on that gun while wrestling a gun away from someone and single-handedly saved lives. Hero, period. Hard stop. This man was at the MTV Movie Awards. On stage, Chadwick Boseman stopped everything and said what a real hero is James Shaw Jr.
Chills.
Pulled him up on stage and gave him the award because he's the true best hero.
Yes.
So, best hero of the year at the MTV Movie Awards was Mr. James Shaw Jr., and I just want to give a moment of appreciation for a man that saved lives with his own bare hands because that's what a hero does, and I want to give a thank you to Chadwick Boseman for not just recognizing that, but for being a leader that we need, being a man that shows us how to be better. So, thank you.
That's so beautiful.
Yes. Knowing when to share that spotlight.
It meant so much to me. Like, seeing that moment, I was like, I haven't had a reason to watch the MTV Movie Awards in 40 years. So, like, that was a really cool thing to have happened. So I just think that leaving the politics out of it, that was a beautiful thing. So
pretty
dumb. Everyone, watch that clip. I tweeted it like 10 minutes before the show, so it's on my Twitter. It's a really cool thing that happened. So any of this news you guys want to talk about before we move on to Mary Marvel? It's...
No, I think that with the Incredibles 2 coming out and obviously Ant-Man and the Wasp coming out soon, I'm just really excited for everyone. I think that as myself, you know, I haven't really been into comics as long as a lot of you guys have, but it's been so nice to be able to really experience these movies, like, one after the other, Infinity War and Deadpool and all of this. So I hope that you guys, you know, like, venture outside of your comfort zone.
Yeah, I think it's important.
Yeah.
Anything for Mary Marvelites? We had a light news week, so I wanted to see.
It was pretty light news week. I'm trying to think if there's a. Anything else? I'm trying not to mix it up with DC stuff. Because, you know, as our title is. Okay, but I will say this one thing. So at E3, I did get to play Lego DC Supervillains, which is adorable. And it's there. It really is. I very much enjoyed that. I like the customization of it. And I'll put capture up on my Twitter, because right now I don't really have a place to be able to do all my DC stuff. I know Koi and I are trying to figure that out,
because it's a thing.
Amalgam Universe.
Yeah.
Talking DC. If you like,
killing it in comic trade.
Oh, yeah, the animated and but yeah, for video games, yes, get Spider-Man, obviously get Spider-Man, and go ahead and get Lego DC Supervillains. I'm definitely going to get it. It's because the customization of it, you can do where it's like, okay, so one of the first powers that you get is you get a heat ray, okay? So it's like you can decide, does that come through my eyes? Is it this hand? What's the color? What's it look like? I mean, I just love that and then put that together with the Lego game, and that's, I'm on board. So once Marvel has a Lego Marvel supervillain, then we'll talk about that, and I'll play as Thanos and Killmonger.
Yeah. I'll be Loki and just mischief my way through the game.
Yeah.
All the news we talked about today, anything that jumped out to you?
You know, the only thing that I was thinking was Cloak and Dagger, to bring it way, way back. But mm-hmm. I'm really loving being able to discover their powers with the two of them. And I'm loving that we're three episodes in and we're on this journey with them, instead of it being like, these are these characters and this is what they do. Now we're going to go save people. You really get to have, you're with these teenagers who are exploring themselves and discovering this weird, crazy thing, which is what your teenage years are. And you get to be on that journey with them. So I'm really enjoying the pace that Cloak and Dagger is doing. And I love that. Thank you.
Anything as a non-comic person that not confused you, but all the stuff we talked about, are you like, what is that? And how do I, what?
Oh, you know God. I mean, I usually just ask you immediately.
That's true. That's true.
I know nothing about comics. I rely on him completely. No, I'm killing airtime. Go.
Okay. I'm glad you're excited about Cloak and Dagger.
Then fine, other E3 games that you should pay attention to. Shadow of the Tomb Raider, definitely. If you've never heard of Dragon Quest XI, it's a fun action RPG, fantasy RPG game. What was another one? There was Hitman 2. I'm going to be back into the Hitman series things, because I played that one also. And Super Smash Brothers Ultimate.
I mean, always.
Of course. Always. Okay, and now Mary Marvel. Now Mary Marvel X. Shout out to Ken from Chicago at Ken from Chicago. Some call me D at Darren Jacques.
Yes.
John Salito at John Salito. Christopher Witt at WB Caw. Dominic Figuli at D Figuli. Michael Nortz at Here's Mikey. Yeah. James Fergan at JL Fergan. Shidohari at Shidohari. Winston executable at X Winston. I know him from Hyper RPG. He's always in the chat room during M10 Candles. Welcome. Comments and questions. From Ryan Street at Ryebread 8484. This isn't Marvel news related, but it is Marvel related. I keep hearing small bits on shows about people being upset about the renumbering of the Marvel comics. I don't fully appreciate the debate, as I've never heard the whole story from either side. Discussion for the show.
That would take about an hour?
Yeah.
All right.
I've got strong feelings. Actually, I'd love to hear your thoughts, and then I'll give mine. As a non-deep comic person, and as someone that collected, like, intermittently, I'd love to hear the different thoughts.
So the question is, there was a certain number,
for example,
there was an order, and they changed.
Spider-Man has been Volume 1, Volume 2, Volume 3. They always go back to the old numbering system. So Spider-Man, for example, this Wednesday, number 801 comes out.
Okay.
In 3 weeks, Spider-Man number 1 comes out. They renumber to number 1 with a new creative team. All of the legacy of 801 disappears. So, obviously, I'm being very subtle about my thoughts.
Yeah, and exactly. Then, for instance, Black Panther dates back to, 1970s, I think, is when it started. I don't think that was 60s. I think it was 70s. And it just recently released a Black Panther 1 with Wakanda in space. And that was on May 23rd, I want to say. So when you have something that's like that chunk of a time of like comics. And then you, so you have people that are like, oh, hey, so yeah, you know, well, for me, I'll say Christopher Priest, you know, the client, you know, and then within that run, you could be like, oh, yeah, volume 17, which is such and such this. While when there are people that when you renumber everything back to one again, then it's like, there's what like is it that ones. You mean? So that's what the discussion is.
So the two sides are, one side is number ones bring people in. There's so many people right now, they're like, oh, Amazing Spider-Man number one. I'll pick that up because I know I can just jump in. The other side is there are now, I think, at least 7 or 8 Amazing Spider-Man number ones since 63. So my opinion is, and what's also going to happen is, there's Amazing Spider-Man number one, they're probably going to get to like Amazing Spider-Man 79, and they're going to look at them ending on 801, and then all of a sudden it's going to be Spider-Man 880, because they're going to want to get it to 900, and then there's going to be a few months of it going back to the old numbering system, and then it's going to get to be too big again, and then they're going to change it back to number one, and I'm going to have a seizure.
That's why it's such a huge discussion. So people that are all about the sequential order and have been, you know, bulk, you know, collecting comics are their particular character, then it's like having these ones, you know. And then there's people that are like, well, there's a mountain of comics. What in the world am I supposed to start with? Let me start with one. So that's what the discussion is.
It's intimidation of the big number.
No, because as someone who like wants to start getting into comics, you have to respect everything that's happened. So you might be like, okay, you know what? I'm not going to read 800 comics, 800 issues, but you can start wherever and just, you know, kind of ride that wave.
There's two sources you can go to. Actually, three. Google and see when a new arc started by just looking at, like, new team, whatever. Your local comic shop guy, if you have one close by, if you live near a comic store. Now, I know a lot of you don't. The more I'm on the internet, the more I realize local comic shops are hard to come by. So two is a little tricky. Or three, us. Keep the numbers alive. I think it's important. I collect, so I have long boxes. If my long boxes suddenly change to a new number one, I have to get a file thing. I put it in there. It says new volume. It drives me nuts. I take it out when it goes back to the old number. I like my numbers, so for me.
And especially like with Marvel Movie News, we're at 185.
That feels so much better than number one again, volume four this year. Yeah. Like, what if we renumbered every year? What if it was 1 through 50, year four?
Well, actually, we would probably have to start numbering from when cast changes happen.
Yeah, when Matt Lee used to be like, issue number one.
So like 3 years ago, it would have been back to one.
Like if Matt Cook leaves, I'm here. It's a new number one.
Yeah.
Exhausting. So no. I personally,
well, when you
I
think
like
of it like that, but I also like the accessibility of it, because then there's also, if you tell someone, be like, oh yeah, Marvel Movie News, here's episode 185, they'll be like, you know, I'll get around to it sometime. Mm-hmm.
That's tricky.
You know, or it'll be something like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Oh yeah, there's 5 seasons. Be like, I guess I'll start with season one sometime.
What I would do is I would have 801 as the number, and then in parentheses, a new number one, and the volume underneath. And I'd have like a setup so you could see a system of where to jump on. Like, this is a new creative team. This is number one with them. This is volume 5. This is the original legacy number. I'd start a universal system of what all of the important relevant information is. But that's also tricky to get a system.
This is such a huge discussion. It so is.
I say stick to the numbers, guys.
Such a huge discussion.
I feel like you're missing out on other big landmarks. So are you telling me that Spider-Man's never gotten to 1,000 issues?
Not yet, because they keep...
What the heck?
Action Comics has.
Action Comics has. Action Comics started in the 40s, so they had more time. But the other thing is, Deadpool just got to 300, and like the last issue of Gary Dugan's run was 300. A new team of Scotty Young. Oh my god, is it good. If you like Deadpool, the movie, the new Spider-Man, I mean the new, Deadpool is in the movie-verse. It's very much Ryan Reynolds' character.
What?
So the new Deadpool number one, Scotty Young's writing it, feels like the movie. So if you love the movies, it feels like the movie. But that's a new number one. So we just had 300, and now they're like one. So it's like, maddening.
No.
Anyway, any other questions of Nick?
This is from Ken from Chicago. Will Coy and Marquia cosplay as Ant-Man and the Wasp?
Only if I'm the Wasp.
If somebody wants to hook that up for me, then I will totally cosplay as the Wasp. Or Ant-Man. Either one, I'm cool with.
Anthony's in the booth right now, just like, no.
I always cosplay. You guys don't see me.
Yeah, you guys don't see
Anthony.
Yeah,
each and every time.
He's in Ant-Man garb right now.
He's this big.
And I think we got one more.
And then from Jay Soap, at Jay Soap, if Comcast ends up getting Fox, do the Marvel properties revert back to Disney anyway?
That's what I've heard.
That's what, you know, that's what the scuttlebutt is, but... honestly, I don't see Comcast being, you know, they're a company, they're a business. If they end up acquiring it, they're going to want to at least have some of that Marvel money mm-hmm. for a while, if not always owning it. And
the Hulk just gets more complicated.
More and more complicated.
That's the rumor, so. But I'm not a lawyer, and we get asked that question a fair amount.
We do get asked that question a lot. Not certain. I know what I would do in a business sense, but then also Comcast doesn't have the... I'm not going to say the business acumen, but they wouldn't know how to handle Marvel if they acquired it. I don't think they would. And then I'm completely of the camp and of the mind that no matter what, Disney will end up with Marvel. It's just a matter of patience and a matter of money.
Yeah, and they have both.
Yeah.
So, time will tell. I believe that is all of the Marvel Yep, see, I'm done with the show because I can't speak. Anything you guys want to plug before we take off?
Sure, go ahead, Amy.
Well, you guys can find me on Geek Bomb Stuff. I do things there. It's fun. It's nerdy. And there's a new video that I just edited and wrote, and it's about Ant-Man and the Wasp. So a little backstory for that. Also here, you guys can see my Box Office Breakdown, Marvel TV Weekly on AfterBuzz, and there's another one, Netflix Picks, on AfterBuzz as well. And you guys can find me on all social media at AmyCassandraMTC.
Boom.
Okay, I've been doing a lot of RPGing lately. I don't know if you've seen on my Twitter and then on my Instagram, and I've added cosplay elements to it. That's why my hair is like this. I am playing a magic girl tonight, Sailor Moon RPG. That is going to be twitch.tv/hyperRPG. That's at 7 p.m. Pacific time. So however you want to convert that in Google, PDT, PST, PT, everyone that you put in Google, it comes out to the same time. So there's that. And if you're in the Hollywood area and you love improv, I'll be doing improv this Thursday night with my one of my groups, Black by Popular Demand. So that will be and look on my Twitter. So I'll be posting about that. And my group Essence Improv will have another thing coming up. And then I will be defending my roguelike championship. I won the title last week. I'm not completely certain how I did it because I was not explained all of the rules to the game. but it is basically it's basically just an RPG D&D kind of style thing with hidden agendas, and the chat room gives you characters. And I had some pretty fun characters. My first character was Son Goku, and then my second character was a three-headed monster named Hela. So yeah, it's super fun. And check my Twitter, and I have the time for that, but that is also at HyperRPG. So Twitter and Instagram, MarkeiaMccarty.
And I finally can talk about the thing I've been doing, so I've actually got something to say for once. Arena is a game that I host. It is called The Arena. It is Mammoth Meanie is The Arena. It is much like a phone trivia game, but with teams. So you join it, you play it. I'm one of the hosts of it. It is three times a day, every day, 21 games a week. It is so much fun, and I am the full of your phones. I'm reading you questions, you guys are answering, and the best thing is we like literally just PayPal you money. The money is real. It comes right at you. So looked up The Arena. It is one of the top, and we just announced it, and it's already one of the top 50 apps in iOS, which makes me so proud. So one of the biggest apps in the world. I am one of the guys running. I'm very proud of it. So check out The Arena, and I also have my Insta reviews, and I also will be at, thank you so much, AmazingCon in Vegas is the name of it, and Mr. Rob Liefeld's coming. Louis Tan's going to be there. Charlie Cox, who is Daredevil, is going to be there. Jason David Frank, the Green Power Ranger. Brianna Hildebrand, the One Punch Man guys, and Ed McGuinness, who is the art inspiration for my tattoo, is going to be there. So I'm going to talk to him about my tattoo. There's so much glories. That's in Vegas, the 29th, 30th, and 1st. I'll be there. Marquee is getting kidnapped. So tweet at me. I love you guys. I can be found at CoyjanDreau on Instagram and Twitter. And we'll see you guys next week. Thanks.
Bye.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of its owners or principals.